dream dreams. Do you old blokes dream a bit more? I had a dream the other night about one of our, it took me a while for it to come back, but it was about one of our local pastors in Mount Barker of, I think, the Uniting Church, and I dreamt that he had moved to a new town, but he was still looking after his old parish, and I have to tell him that, of course, to see whether it resonates with him or not. Dear Lord, we thank you that you come to us in your word, and now we open your word and we look at what it's saying to us, and we pray, come Holy Spirit, come and speak to us, convict us, lead us to Jesus, and lead us to all the people who don't know Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The teacher asked the class, and you might know this, the teacher asked the class, who believes in God? The Father. And they all put their hands up. And then he asked, who believes in God, the Son, in Jesus Christ? And the kids all put their hands up. And then he said, who believes in the Holy Spirit? And finally, one little boy put his hand up and said, please, sir, the boy who believes in the Holy Spirit isn't at school today. That might be funny, but it might be closer to the truth than we think. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? I knew you'd say that. I knew you would. Do you treasure the Holy Spirit? Yes. The songs have really helped us with that again today, haven't they? They've really helped us, I think. Martin Luther once wrote a great Trinity hymn, which we probably won't sing next week, but we might. It's Trinity Sunday next week. We all believe in one true God. That was the first verse. Second verse, we all believe in Jesus Christ. And when he got to the third verse, because it's poetry, of course, and it all has to fit together nicely, the third verse says, we in the Holy Ghost believe. Now, Luther really did believe in the Holy Spirit, and he believed very strongly in the work of the Holy Spirit. And he writes about that a lot. Without the Holy Spirit, nothing happens. And he knew that from the time of the Reformation. But it's symptomatic that in the third verse, it doesn't say we all believe in the Holy Spirit, because it doesn't fit, you see. But sadly, that's the way it is with so many lives. We don't all believe in the Holy Spirit, it appears. We don't believe in him very much anyhow, because he confuses us. We don't know how God works through the Holy Spirit. I have a book at home which is called the subtitle is, or it writes about it, calls the Holy Spirit the shy member of the Trinity. I think that's good description, the shy member of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit kind of works in the background. The Holy Spirit doesn't push himself on us. He doesn't have a big sign and walk around and say, I'm the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't draw attention to himself. The Holy Spirit comes from the Father and the Son, and the purpose is to direct us all to the Father and the Son, to the Son, and then through that to the Father. I have a feeling something's falling off here, but yeah, it's trouble with these things. I never know what's going on. I've got so many things hanging around my ear already.
That's your...
Is that right?
I've got it now.
Oh, thank you, Marlene.
There you go.
The Holy Spirit obviously put you in the front pew for that reason. At Jesus' baptism, we're told, what was the sign of the coming of the Holy Spirit? A dove. Not a wedge-tailed eagle, but a dove, as quiet as a mouse, really. In John chapter 3, when Jesus talks to Nicodemus about being born again, he says, water and the Spirit. And then he goes on to say that the Holy Spirit does his saving work like the wind. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you can't tell where it comes from or where it's going. you can't kind of see it. You just see what it does, you see? And so it's not surprising that on Pentecost Day, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came and filled the whole house. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Wind and spirit, by the way, are the same word, as you probably know. Wind and spirit and breath too, same word. So we baptize babies, for example, and I assume you baptize babies here sometimes. Yeah, and we believe the Holy Spirit is at work there, but for the life of me, you can't see it, can you? You can't see it. You believe it's happening, but you can't see it. Or we baptize adults here. I'm sure you baptize adults too. And we believe the Holy Spirit is at work. But even with adults, we still can't quite see how. Some people come to faith suddenly, for example. You know, they go to one meeting and they hear about Jesus and they're converted right on the spot. Others, no way. No way. It takes forever, almost. I know about a story about a man who got a new neighbor who wasn't a believer, and he gave him a C.S. Lewis book. And the book, he accepted it, but he put it on the shelf. And 30 years later, he was going through a hard time, and he somehow remembered that book or saw it and read it and was converted. 30 years later. Suddenly there comes a time when people believe in Jesus, but in the end you can't explain how it happens. Except we know the Holy Spirit has been at work. Suddenly there comes a time when we know we have eternal life, as we talked about last week. You suddenly know it, but you can't exactly say how it happened or why it happened to you and not to the person who had the same experience as you did. However we come to faith, however we are reborn or we know that we're saved and have eternal life, it's always the work of the Holy Spirit. How good is that? How good is that? How precious is the work of the Holy Spirit? Because if it wasn't for the work of the Holy Spirit, none of us would be here today. None of us would believe in Jesus. In Acts chapter 19, we hear a pretty amazing story. Paul met some disciples who believed in Jesus, and it says two things about them. They believed and they were disciples. He asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And listen to their amazing answer. Some of you know what it was. "No, we haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." So the Holy Spirit had been at work leading them to faith and to be followers of Jesus, and they hadn't even heard there was a Holy Spirit. But he was still at work. The Holy Spirit is rather shy. A German woman, Harold, came to our church in Adelaide. And she was 18, and she had only ever been to a church once in her life. Only once. And that was when she went to America, and she just went along with the family. And she was in Adelaide. She was a backpacker, and she came to our church, and it came time to go to communion. She'd never been to communion, knew nothing about communion, didn't know anything about God, but she was searching. And she just did what everybody else did. Like, hopefully you thought it out a bit more this morning when you came to communion. She just went up the front with everybody else, took communion, and something happened. Something happened. She told me later that she could feel that something was happening inside her. And it wasn't very long she said, "I want to be baptized." We didn't know any of that stuff. We didn't know that she hadn't been baptized or anything. But God was at work. You see, everything was back the front and different from the way we usually say it happens. When I was in Perth, when I used to live in Perth, some people came to see me about there'd been a tragedy in their family. Somebody'd been killed one of their children and brothers had been killed in a motorbike accident, young man. And they came to see me about would I do their funeral. I didn't know these people. And we're having this little discussion about a funeral and how. And then I asked the question that most pastors asked, had he been baptized? See, because if there's a baptism, you know there's been a contact with Jesus. And they said, no, but that doesn't matter, does it? And I thought, I'm really in a predicament here. I'm with a grieving family who's really grieving, and they're saying, it doesn't matter if you've been baptized, does it? And I said, because I'm a Lutheran, I believe baptism does matter. And I said, well, we think it's somewhat important. And then I tried to change the topic. So we finished the discussion and they went on their way, and I thought, I'll probably never see these people again, because I'm sure I would have upset them by that. The next morning, it was Sunday morning, the next morning I'd already gone off to St. John's, Joy was still at home, and the phone rang, and the people were on the phone, and they said, those people were on the phone, they said, can we all be baptized at your service tonight? See, I thought I'd totally blown it. But the Holy Spirit was quietly working away there. And of course, in the end, not that night, because we had to teach them first, and they were all baptized. And I've been meeting with them already over here this time, 20 years later or 25 years later. The Holy Spirit often does his work without us realizing it. We simply see the results of it. Our repentance for our sins, which we're going to talk about in a moment. Our faith in Jesus. Every time we see that, we say, the Holy Spirit's been at work. Our certainty of salvation. Our boldness to proclaim Jesus. Or the surprise of speaking in tongues. Or prophesying. Or showing extraordinary love. You thought, I could never love a drunk or something. And suddenly you're loving them. Putting your arms around them. Picking them out of the gutter or whatever. Showing mercy. Or forgiving those who have abused us. I'm not going to go too far there. But if you can forgive somebody who's abused you, then you know the Holy Spirit has really been at work in your life. In John chapter 16, verse 8, which I had planned to read out and forgot all about as I started, when he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. The world means the non-believing world chiefly. The world is filled with sin, you know that. Sometimes the church is almost filled with sin too, sadly. But the world is filled with sin, especially the sin of unbelief. That's what Jesus goes on to say. The sin of unbelief is the chief sin. Let's be clear on that. Unbelief is the chief sin, because that just rejects God, doesn't it? Rejects God altogether. But the world won't recognize or confess its sin. It prefers to live in its sin than to confess it and to be rescued from it. The world seems blind to sin, and more and more it says, sin is okay. And I heard something on the radio in Adelaide just before we came over. It said something like, I don't think this is the exact word, but sin is the new morality. meaning the things that are wrong are now the right things. And you know, I'm not going to go down that track, but you know, some of the things we've always said are wrong suddenly are right. And anyone who believes the opposite is the sinner now. Children caught sinning say, "I didn't do it." Have you got any children like that? "I didn't do it. Wasn't me. It was usually my brother or sister or something, but it wasn't me." People are caught red-handed and they're brought before a judge and they plead not guilty. Now, I know that's a complicated legal matter, but nevertheless, red-handed. They're caught with the stuff in their hands and they plead not guilty. Jesus promises that when the Holy Spirit comes, he will convict the world of sin. Now, you all know Nicky Cruz, isn't it? I don't know if I got this little book off the back there or where I got it, but I was reading in about the second page, I read these words. "Years ago, when Nicky was making one of his regular visits to our church, a scene occurred that I'll never forget. The auditorium was packed and overflowing with people, and we'd imagine these were mostly Christian people, seeing it was in a church. Suddenly, an awesome sense of God's presence came as Nicky concluded his gospel message. As he spoke, a terrible scream arose from a young lady standing in the rear of the hall. 'Help me, Jesus,' she cried as she staggered forward to the front of the church. 'I can't take it anymore. Help me, Jesus.' It was as though a bolt of spiritual lightning struck the audience. Nicky had not concluded his invitation to receive Christ, but soon people everywhere were walking forward under conviction of sin." That's why I'm reading this. Under conviction of sin. The Holy Spirit came and the people were convicted of their sins. Drawn by God's amazing love for them, no matter how they were living. So it's not just growling at people, but it's the love of God. Preaching the love of God to people that often brings the conviction of sin, because it shows the opposite, that they're living the opposite way of the way God wants them to. It was a powerful demonstration of a spirit-anointed messenger of God fulfilling his ministry for Jesus. So we who believe also need convicting of the Holy Spirit, conviction of the Holy Spirit for our sins. We need to be shown and convicted of our sins so we repent and we believe in Jesus. And this is a daily thing. This is a daily thing. It's not a one-off the day you first believe and are converted. It's a daily thing. Martin Luther, who knew a thing or two, said that repentance is a daily thing. The whole life of the Christian is repentance, because always coming back to Jesus. We always stray away in one way or another, so it's always coming back to Jesus. Every day. Renewal, everyday renewal. This is a precious work of the Holy Spirit, that he'll do this for us. The Holy Spirit convicts us of our sins in order to draw us to Jesus and his forgiveness. But the devil is also at work. The devil leads us to sin, but what's he do next? He accuses us of sin. The same sin he's led us into, he accuses us of committing. Revelation 12:10, the devil is called the accuser who accuses us before God day and night. The devil accuses us in order to drive us to despair. And don't we see a lot of that? But the Holy Spirit convicts us in order to draw us to Christ and forgiveness, love, grace, joy. When the Holy Spirit comes, secondly, it says he will convict or convince the world of righteousness. Now, most people believe, and including too many Christians, think that they are living a pretty good life. Isn't that true? Yeah, we're doing all right. We're in the top 50%, you know, the top 50, or maybe some of us are so good even we're in the top 10%. Who knows? People think they're good enough. They're better than their neighbours and so on. And a lot of non-Christians believe they're better than most of the Christians are. And Christians think they're better than all the rest as well. They think that if God looks at them, he'll say, "Aren't they doing fine? They're such wonderful people, my Christian people. They're so beautiful." That's not how the Bible quite sees it. When the Holy Spirit comes, he'll show us that all our righteousness is like filthy rags. All of it. We need a different kind of righteousness than the stuff we can produce ourselves. We need, St. Paul says, this righteousness, this different righteousness comes from God. It's not something we offer to God. It comes from God through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. Free gift from God to you with love through Jesus Christ our Lord, brought by the Holy Spirit. This righteousness is by grace, pure gift. I hope you're convinced of this, that the only righteousness that counts for you is the righteousness that Christ has won for you on the cross. And all your efforts, and they might be pretty good, but all of them in the end are not what save you, but purely the gift of God's righteousness to you in Christ. If you're not real sure on that, you should talk to somebody more, somebody a wise Christian, to talk that through a bit more. I think that's really precious, that the Holy Spirit brings that righteousness to us. Then thirdly, it says, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will convict or convince the world of judgment. And we don't even like talking about that usually, do we? Because he says, the prince of this world now stands condemned. That's the devil, stands condemned. The Holy Spirit convinces us to take really seriously that the wages of sin is death, or judgment, if you like. But to take much more serious still that through Christ we've been forgiven and we've been rescued from sin and death and judgment, and this judgment has been given where it rightly deserves to the devil and his angels, Matthew 25 verse 41. So we don't have to fear judgment. We don't have to grow old and think, oh no, how am I going to do it? I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to go to hell because I'll, in the judgment day, it'll be shown all the things I did when I was a teenager or something. And, you know, I've been able to hide them for all this time and now it's all going to come out and I won't make it. Not at all. It's all been dealt with through Jesus Christ and his blood, and all the sin goes to the devil and he's going to be in hell forever. And you'll be in heaven rejoicing with Jesus who saved you. The gospel is such good news for us in Jesus Christ that we want to, the Holy Spirit leads us to tell people about it. If you've just had a great rescue, the first thing you do, you know, ring up, talk, text, you know, whatever. Facebook, I don't do Facebook, but I'm sure people who do Facebook, they'd be telling everybody, wouldn't they? Like the woman who lost her coin and then she found it again and she invited everybody round to come and celebrate with her. This is some lines I've put together from our readings. The Holy Spirit will testify about me and you also must testify because it's happened to you. Salvation. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. You'll tell everybody about it. Then Peter raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Peter, who always put his foot in his mouth, now stands up and tells everyone about Jesus. Then Peter, while Peter was still speaking about Jesus, the Holy Spirit came on all the people who heard his message. That's Acts 10. The Holy Spirit is involved in everything that happens in the early church and in today's church. Whether it's witnessing or preaching or miracles or loving or giving generously, the Holy Spirit is always the one who's leading it to happen. Sometimes we despair, though. We think so little seems to be happening in the church. And by the way, why are there so many more on this side than that side? That's what's been puzzling me the whole time. I was going to say, your job for next Sunday is to fill this side, and your job is to make sure this side doesn't empty out next week. But yeah, so anyhow, that's beside the point. But it was troubling me the whole time. But so we sometimes get a bit discouraged about things in the church. I do, and I suspect some of you do too. Unbelief and immorality seem to be on the increase, and often that's in our own families who should know better, but they've made bad choices and they've drifted away. They knew about Jesus, but they've drifted away. Faith and following Jesus seems to be on the decrease, seems to be. But let me tell you, the Holy Spirit is still at work, mightily in many places. In Australia, but especially in Asia and Africa and the Middle East, where Muslims are persecuting Christians, the Holy Spirit is at work mightily. Often the more suffering there is, the more the Holy Spirit is at work. Refugee camps. Where are you? Refugee camps, that's where the Holy Spirit works, doesn't he? Prisons, he works in prisons, mightily. And everywhere he works, down your street, in your home, bringing faith and hope and joy. Often where the greatest suffering is, the Holy Spirit works the greatest. It's happening here, isn't it? It's happening here. It's happening in your life, isn't it? Happening in your life. So don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. And there are seasons too. There are seasons where the Spirit really works powerfully, and then other seasons where you can't see him working so much or there's greater resistance. Keep praying for the Holy Spirit to come, to fill you with courage to speak of Jesus, to help you to love others as Jesus has loved you and them, to be filled with such joy that people see you and they say, this is just for those of you who are initiated, I want what they're having. I've just changed the words a little bit. I want what they've got. How precious is the Holy Spirit? Pray continually, and this is a prayer, and we've already prayed it in the service. Come, Holy Spirit, renew your church, begin with me. Come, Holy Spirit, renew your world, begin with the church. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Let's just pray that last little bit together. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Amen. Lord, thank you that you do come. You come in answer to prayer, and you even come off so often when we're not even praying, because you are so gracious and loving. So bless us now as we confess our faith together in words now, as we did in song earlier in the service, and then as we come forward, if we desire to, in prayer. Hear our prayers for Jesus' sake. Amen.